Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. It's good to see all of you here in God's house. Praise the Lord, He is good, and I know that He has something for us today. He's going to change us. He's going to get us ready for what He has, because He has entrusted this world to us, His people, while we're still here. And so, church, we've got to do something with it. We've got to be ready. Are you ready this morning? Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles out. We're going to hear from His Word today. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, and we'll see what the Lord has in store. We didn't get beyond this portion of Scripture in the first service because the Lord was dealing with some hearts. And so I believe He's going to do the same thing today, but we'll just leave it in His hands. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to give a special happy anniversary to Fred and Sharon Cox, 41 years. Hallelujah. Congratulations to them. And Willard and Lenora Fugate, 61 years. Congratulations. I told Willard it probably has to do with that great guitar playing skill. Praise the Lord. On the inside of your bulletins, church, there is at the bottom of the first page a section on membership. We are having a membership class this Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Let me explain a few things to you so that if you have the questions, maybe I can answer them now. Membership is the next step into serving the Lord as far as friendship is concerned. When people come to us, we have three priorities that are straight out of the Word of God. We want to know that they're saved. We want to know that they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to know that they're baptized to tell the world who they belong to. Once those three things are done, then it's time to get to work. Then it's time to get to growing and get to service. And so as part of that, what we offer is membership and friendship assembly. And what membership is the opportunity to plug in with what God is doing here in this church, with what God has for you to do as far as serving. And what God is going to do as the future unfolds and those who are ready to take that next step of commitment to follow Jesus. So, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, we'd love, if you're interested, for you to sign up. Now, hear me out on this. If you come to the class, that does not mean that you are automatically a member. You will have a decision to make at the end of the class, and you don't even have to make it there. Maybe you just want to hear what God is about to do and what God is going to do through those who are faithful to serve. You are welcome. Please come. We want to explain what the next step is for us following the Lord in this community. You've seen where He's placed us, and you've seen how He's wrapped this community around us. God has a huge plan for this church, and God has a huge plan for the souls of those who He's brought to us. Can I just share with you a couple of things? We had prayed a couple Sundays back that the Lord would just begin to touch people in these apartments and in these areas so that they would start coming to church. Did you know the Lord started answering that prayer immediately? We had people who were just walking over from this apartment complex, and they said, well, you know, we just noticed that you guys were here, and we just feel like we got to come over here and see what God is doing. Praise God. That's terrific. And it's continued service after service. We've had a couple of folks in the morning services and some in the evening. They just felt drawn by the Lord. So it's happening. And these are the plans that God has for this church. It's going to increase, and we're excited about it. But you got to hear me on this. We've got to be faithful with what God is going to do. We've got to be faithful. This is not about just building a big building. This is about winning souls for the kingdom of God. I want to make sure that on that day, there are all kinds of people standing in heaven because we were placed here to do Jesus' work. Okay? And so that's what we are setting our heart to do, setting our mind to do, and that's what Jesus has placed us here for. So praise God for it. Anyway, if you're interested in the membership class, 9 a.m. Saturday morning, please let us know so that we can have food for you, because it lasts till about 2 o'clock, okay? All right, that's all we have. Are you in Luke chapter 12? We got two. All right, hopefully you're there. Look at verse 42. You're going to find some words like this. And the Lord said. Church, we've got to start paying attention to what Jesus says. The Lord said. Is He the Lord of your life? Is He the one governing to you how you are walking, living, acting? You see, part of the problem that I believe exists in our day today is that we're pointing our fingers at the world. We're pointing our fingers at them for not getting in line with what God wants them to do. You got to hear what Peter says to the church. Judgment begins at the household of faith. Meaning if God's not getting it right in the church, don't expect it to get right in the world. There's no answer in the world, church. There's no answer. Over 6,000 years of history tells us that man has no answer to fix what's going on. But Jesus does. Jesus does. And we as people need to get back to hearing what he says. So the Lord said, who then is faithful and wise? Faithful and wise. If you're a note taker, I want you to take down these two things. Faithful and wise. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? The Lord is looking for people to be faithful and wise. Faithful and wise. What do we have to be faithful over? What is he looking for wisdom to accomplish? I want to talk to the mature in the Lord for a second. The Lord has a plan for developing you. When we enter into faith with Jesus Christ, we do so with the declaration that Jesus is Lord. That means that he calls the shots. That means that he is the one in dominion over our hearts. That means that we as the people of God, as we hear what the Lord says, are going to get in his word so that he can speak to us. And then, church, we're going to get on our knees to present ourselves before him. I remember being a kiddo raised, being taught about prayer. Many of the ways that prayer was taught to me is that it's a conversation with God. That's true. It is a conversation with God. But for those who are walking with Jesus, we understand that this conversation is far more than just a happenstance, hey, how are you? This conversation is a presentation. Lord, what do you have for me today? Lord, what is your will? What is your design? What do I need from you today? That's what prayer is. We're coming to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, let me not make that too impersonal, because Jesus says, he who serves with me, I call friend. So you are friends of the Most High. But it also is based on if you're serving with him. And so as we enter into prayer, hearing what he says, we need to do so with a heart that says, Lord, how can I serve you today? Lord, how can I give more of who I am to you today? Because realize, Jesus has given everything for you. Everything. And on a daily basis, we can experience all the good things that he's given to us. Jesus asked the question in this parable, who is the faithful and wise manager? Who will the master set over his household to give to those their apportioned food at the proper time? Can I tell you that there are a lot of aspects of food that we can talk about this morning? But I want to go beyond just the physical food. I want to go beyond just the basic physical provision, because that's strictly what we're looking at here. But I think when it comes to what God is trying to communicate, we have a lot more to look at than just the physical. And when he's looking for someone to be faithful and wise over his house, he's looking for someone to distribute what is needed. Can I tell you that people today are hungry for knowledge? They are hungry for what's going on. They want to know. And in fact, there are a lot of people who make a lot of money based on filling the desire for those who want to be in the know. But the problem is, when it's all based on money, you can't determine whether or not it's knowledge or gossip anymore. They'll give you whatever they can just to keep you satisfied, and this world sells fear. Oh my goodness, how we feed on it. How we get so hungry for that next inkling. Don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to keep up with the times, but if you are filling yourself with only that, you will have no room for what God has for you. And let me tell you, the world has a much different story about how things are going than what God does. He has a much different opinion of how things are going to change and how things are going to end than the world does. But when we start filling ourselves on all that the world gives, we start succumbing to fear. We start succumbing to anxiety. We start filling ourselves up with the cares of this life. Wait a second. Didn't Jesus talk about the cares of this life? Yes, he did. He said that they would be like weeds and thorns in your life, that when the gospel starts taking root and growing, those thorns and those weeds will choke it out. There's a lot of questions today on why is the church not more powerful? Why is the church not flowing like it used to? Could it be that we're filling ourselves with all the food of the world? All the knowledge of what it has? I think so. And Jesus came that you might have peace. He says, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. In other words, it will not have an end. It will have a full portion, and it's not based on something that you do to receive it. It's as he gives it. So the Lord is looking for someone to be faithful and wise in the distribution of what he has in his house. Can I tell you that we have inherited the kingdom of God? We have inherited the blessings of God. Don't believe me? You got to look at what the New Testament talks about when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ. For those of you who've been with us on Wednesdays, you know what I'm talking about. We've been walking through the book of Ephesians. And Paul begins to lay out to the church what God's manifold wisdom has done, what God has blessed the church in. He's given them wisdom. He's given them authority. He's given them everything that they need. And he's given them hope and future with him in eternal life. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been adopted by the blood of Jesus Christ, family members in Christ Jesus, so much so that John says, behold the love of God, that we could be called children of God. You see, we've been made part of his house. We've been brought into his wonderful dwelling place. And as part of that, he's looking for those to be faithful and wise with it, to distribute it the way that it should be distributed. Look at verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. And that, now we find what Jesus is looking for and the blessing that he'll give to those who are responding. He wants us to be faithful and he wants us to be wise. He wants us to use what he's given to us because this is no common thing that you've received. I've said it before, I will say it again. You need to thank God every day that you wake up for giving you the opportunity to live in the most exciting time that we've seen in history. The gospel is going forth like never before. Sure, there are a lot of obstacles, but church, when has there not been obstacles? We see the power of the Holy Spirit moving in people, and people have the full truth. I mean, think about this. You have the Word of God. Do you know how many people died just so that you might have this in your hand? Oh, but we get so busy, don't we? We don't have time for this. We have time for everything else, but we don't have time for this. Church, God has given you the good things of his house. God has given you an incredible apportionment. And look, this is not even beginning to unfold what we'll have. I think of Revelation when John, sitting on the island of Patmos, gets to see what it's going to be like in heaven. And one of the things that he sees in the kingdom of God is that those who've placed faith in Jesus Christ on that wonderful time will walk in the kingdom and will walk out. That kingdom will have such beautiful light because it will be lit up by Jesus himself. We will have the opportunity to enjoy all of his splendor, all of his favor, and we'll be able to go out into all of creation and enjoy who he is and what he's done for us. The Bible says you'll be trophies of his grace. This is the time that's ahead of us. This is what's coming. And as I look at what Jesus is saying of the faithful and wise, that servant will be put over all his possessions. Church, when we enter into eternal life, when we enter into the kingdom that has been laid before us since the foundation of the world, what we have is no end to the goodness of God. What we have is no end to his blessing. And there will be nothing that will be withheld. We will be with him. He will be our God. We will be his people. And there will be no devil. There will be no hell that can separate us from that love for all of eternity. No more weeping. No more crying. No more pain. No more suffering. Only joy inexpressible and filled with glory. The Bible says it hasn't even entered into your mind the things that he has in store for you. I mean, this is what's ahead of you. Blessed is that servant who's faithful and wise now, because you and I have a job to do. Are you ready for the job that God has you to do? He wants us to be faithful in sharing what he's hidden within our hearts. He told the Corinthian church that it's treasure that he's hidden within these jars of clay. It's time to bring out the treasure and share it with those who will hear. Because that's what God is looking for, to apportion to those. And make no mistake, Jesus is the bread of life. When he's looking for someone to be faithful to give the portion of food at the proper time, Jesus is that bread that we need. He's that meal that can be stated to the devil when he comes in all that temptation. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Jesus is that good and true word. And not only that, he gives us his Holy Spirit that in the Gospel of John says springs up within us, springs of living water. This is what we are to be apportioning to the world, and this is how we are to be faithful and wise. And in so doing, what we have ahead of us is eternal life. What we have ahead of us is a kingdom that we can't even begin to discuss or imagine. As we were walking through earlier this week, God can do far more. The people of God need to live in that far more. What is that far more? He can do far more than anything we think or ask. Far more. And so we need to be those who are faithful, distributing the far more from our Father's heart. But you see, I'd be remiss if we ended there. Because not all will be faithful and wise. And in fact, there is a choice in the matter. You got to look at verse 44. Truly I say to you, verse 45. But if that servant says to himself, so there's an option here, isn't there? We can be ready, we can be faithful, we can be wise, or we can do something else. If that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. Do you notice so far in what we've seen, the only person who's not aware of the coming is the one who's ignored it? My master is delayed. I can do whatever I want. Peter talked to the church about those who would come in mockery saying, hey, you know, the coming of the Lord, we haven't seen it in the past few generations. We're not going to see it now. And so we can do whatever we really want because this life is ours. Peter warned about that. And you know, sometimes I see the pendulum swing to the opposite side in which people say, oh no, we know the exact date. We know how it's going to work. And unfortunately, they end up making fools of the body of Christ. Because let me tell you this morning, it's not about knowing the date. It's about being ready for when he comes. You won't care about the date if you're doing his work. It won't be about knowing that exact moment because you see, when we have the right moment, we have this problem of procrastination. Oh, I'll get it right later, God. Don't worry, I'll take care of it then. Lord, I've got time. My master is delayed in coming. You know, when I read this text, it kind of tears at my heart a little bit because when you see what Jesus is presenting here, the one who says, my master is delayed in coming, immediately goes to something that I would not guess would happen. He says, my master is delayed in coming. Okay, so maybe he's going to goof off a little bit. Maybe he's going to take a little extra time. Maybe he's just going to do what he wants to do, not what his master wants to do. But no, you got to see where it leads him. And he begins to beat the male and female servants. Remember when we started this, what Scripture says about those who are living in the flesh, there are two elements that make up the way that they interact with one another, strife and jealousy. That's the natural production of sin in our life. Don't believe me? Look at the world. Look at how we are. Look at what we do. Jealous of what other people have. Striving for it. Not that we might earn it ourselves, but that we might be better than them. The rat race. Sad when you read about the successful businessmen of our day and they begin to sugarcoat and fluffy up all that it took for them to get where they're at. Now, it's a broad brush stroke. I'm sure that there's some that I don't know about. But many will tell you all the people that they had to step on, all the people they had to cast to the side, all the people that they cared less about hurting just so that they could get what they want. Church, when we're outside of Jesus, All we have that governs our life is strife and jealousy. And when I look at the servant here who says, I've got time, my master is delayed, his immediate reaction is to take advantage of the people who are around him. George, if we are not following Jesus, we will take advantage of the people around us. It's a sad thing. You don't want to say it, but it's true. It's true. And I believe that the reason we have so many issues in the church today is because we may be waiting for his coming, but we're not living for it. We may be looking to when it comes, but we're not living for it so that when it comes, we're ready. Church, we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. Now, here is a side of the master that is a representation of God that we don't like to talk about. Look at verse 46. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. That's a hard understanding of God, isn't it? Oh, we love to butter up the truth so that it's palatable for everybody, but you have to understand that sin is a wretched thing. It is a terrible, terrible wickedness that lives in the hearts of men. And without the victory of Jesus at the cross, we would have no hope whatsoever. Did you know that it does not please God to punish the wicked? It does not please him to send anyone to hell. I know that we made a good career out of it over the past 50 years of trying to preach people into heaven by revealing hell to them, but you got to understand it's not God's heart to send people to hell. So the question becomes, Pastor, well, then why does he do it? Because he's a just God. Because he's going to deal with sin. Because he's not going to allow his creation to be tainted by this filth any longer. But take heart, he has so much love within him that he sent his son, so that you could escape this. He gave away so that this would not happen. I've got to finish what he says in the Old Testament. He says, I take no pleasure in destroying the wicked. I would rather that they turn and repent. That's the voice of God. I would rather they turn and repent. He has no joy in destroying these things, but justice needs to put an end to sin. And by his patient grace, we've had time to make the decision to enter in so that we might be saved. Remember what you're saved from. You're saved from sin. You're saved from that which brought destruction in your life. And I have to let you know, we will all stand before him. And the only reason that any of us can have confidence in standing before him is because of the price that was paid at Calvary for you and for me. Blood flowed from our Savior's veins that you might be delivered. He died in your place so that sin would not have the last say. But a decision still has to be made. Now, church, if he had just died, it wouldn't be enough. It would be just another good man that had died, but in Jesus, he rose on the third day. So that we know as we stand before him, we will stand before him in a resurrected life, one that I can't even begin to describe because it's so wonderful and beautiful. And on that day when the gavel drops, it will drop for those who have faith in Jesus as innocent, holy, righteous, and pure. All of us will stand who placed faith in him with that wonderful declaration. You're pure. You're holy. You know as well as I do. That's not a definition that can really fit us, but by the grace of God, forgiveness pours out so that we can be cleansed from unrighteousness. But not all will receive. Some will say, I have time. Some will say, it's not happening now. Why don't I just live the way I want to and I'll get this whole thing right with the Lord some other time. The Lord is not messing around. And this is the blood of his son that we're dealing with. And when we talk about judgment, it's not something that I enjoy, but it's true. It's true. You got to look at the words of Jesus. He did not shy away, but warned the people in love Do not allow this to be you. And I would plead with you this morning, don't allow idleness, negligence, whatever it would be that would give you the opinion that it's not worth living for Jesus. Don't allow it into your heart or mind. There's nothing good that will come from it. Be those who are waiting for that day when he says, well done, good and faithful. Well done. He says, that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. Paul talked to the Corinthian church about some folks who were just living on the foundation of their salvation and nothing more. They were building upon it things that were only temporal. They were building on the foundation of the gospel, things that only mattered for this life. And therefore, when the storm came, when the trial came, when the fire came, there was nothing left of them but the foundation. He says, some will enter into that eternity with the smell of smoke. They were that close to seeing destruction. They had the foundation, but there was nothing else. Church, I never want it to be said of us that we were those people. I never want it to be said of you or me that we did not build on the foundation of Jesus Christ things that lasted eternally. Can I just tell you, all of these things that we enjoy in this life will fade away. The only thing that matters is the life of the lost. It's what Jesus has placed us here. Remember his commission to make disciples, baptizing them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All these things that we work for, are they for eternity? Do they make an eternal difference? This is what we need to focus our eyes on, because when we don't, and when we just settle in with, I'm saved and that's enough, don't think that there are the best of things coming. God wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be wise. He wants you to know that what you've been given is precious and not common. This is something to live in and enjoy. You have been called to something much, much higher and much, much better. There will be those who did not deserve a beating. In verse 48 says, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. You've been entrusted, church, with a lot. A lot. We have the fellowship of believers. We get a taste of heaven every time that we're together worshiping in his presence. We get a taste of the miraculous when we call on his name and we see the mighty hand of his power move. We have been given so, so much. And so much is required. We've got to be faithful to do something about this. And as long as the church is here, don't buy into the fact that we will be ineffective. Look at the scriptures. Look at the promises of Jesus. The church will continue. The church will grow. The church will have impact. It will become the greatest in all of the garden. Don't buy into the fact that we are beat up, cast aside, thrown out. Doesn't happen. It's not in his word. And anyone who would try and sell you that needs to come back and hear what Jesus says. His expectation of you is to do much with what you've been entrusted with. And so we need to take hold of doing his work. Church, if we understand what it means to confess that Jesus is Lord for salvation, if we know what it means to walk in the power of his Holy Spirit, and tell the world by being baptized, saying that the world is dead, washed off, and now I'm alive to God, it's time that we get busy. It's time that we get serving. It's time that we do the work and will of our Father. That is his intent for you. And you see, through it, he will work mightily. Maybe you're hearing this today and you're saying, but I can't do that, Pastor. I am so weak. Trust me, in your weakness, he is strong. No, Pastor, you can't mean me. He can't be speaking to me. Listen, if you're in him, he has a great apportionment for you. There is more to your life in him, in the kingdom. Don't sell yourself short. That's what the enemy wants you to do. You sell yourself short, he doesn't have to be afraid of you. But God has a great intention for your life. You entrust yourself to him. and you'll find that you're in the position of Isaiah, who can stand in the glory and brilliance of the Lord and hear the Lord asking the question, whom will I send? Maybe you'll find that you'll have the courage in that moment to say, Lord, Lord, send me, send me. Oh, that our people would take after that heart this morning. Lord, send me, send me. Every day, every moment, there is something to do. Let me draw your attention to a powerful portion of Scripture, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. In your hearts, Jesus needs to be the Lord that He is. Honor Him as such. Subject your life to the one who's worthy of running it and loves you enough to keep it safe and protect it and to get it ready for eternity. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. For the reason of the hope that is in you. Why do you have hope? Why do you have a smile on your face? Why is it that you can sing to God? Why do you go to church? Let me tell you, because Jesus has done something wonderful in me. He's saved me and changed me. I'm not the same person that I once was. That should be our cry, church. You should have a difference between who you were when you met Jesus and who you are now that He's had time to work on you. You should. Now I want to speak to that heart this morning. I'm no different. Spend time with the Lord. He'll go to work on you in love, in patience, in gentleness, but He'll go to work on you. You will not be the same. And church, why would we want to be the same? Didn't we find at the altar something better than the life we were living? Didn't we find in Christ something far more worthy of our time and our effort? The wages of sin are no joke, it's death. That's all it brings, death and destruction. And yet we chase after it like a fish looking at a lure, ready to be hooked by the world, only to be caught and destroyed. Church, Jesus is far better, far better. And our testimony should reflect that. What is the reason that's in you? How is it that we're to apportion the good things of the kingdom? We need to remember who's in us. We need to remember where we were from, so when people are asking, we don't say, well, I've done great, haven't I? Well, honestly, you should be saying that about me because I've worked so hard. It's amazing how often we can talk about ourselves, our accomplishments, our deeds. You know, one of the first signs to me that someone is ready for ministry is when I converse with them, it's not about them. It's about the Lord. And there is a stark contrast when you talk with people. You see, when they're still caught up on themselves, all they talk is, I did this, I did that, I've been here, I'm so great. It's all about them. Me, 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 and me. And I'm sure you're very important. Jesus loves you. And you're important, don't get me wrong. But you see, those who've been following Jesus, I can always tell a difference in their conversation. It has nothing to do with them. It's usually talking about Him. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up. A good thermometer on where our relationship with Jesus is how much we have to talk about ourselves versus Him. How much we have to talk about number one versus the one. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Uh-oh. Yet do it. Do it with something. The Bible says we're to do it with something, and that is gentleness. Not with arrogance, not with pride, with humility and gentleness. And here it is. And respect. Respect. Knowing that we don't really deserve anything, do we? Oh no, I take that back. That's not true. We do deserve something. We deserve judgment for our sin. We deserve to be cast out for the mistakes that we've made in the face of a God who called us to be pure and holy, loved us with a pure love, yet we decided that we were a better fit as a master. Be ready in season, out of season. That would bring me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. You see, we're in the presence of God this morning. We're here because of Christ Jesus. So there is a charge that is taking place. I wonder if it's going to resound in your heart and mind. Who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom? Preach the word. Preach the word. In other words, let the radical declaration of your praise be about Jesus. We preach a lot of things. Okay, I'm going to have fun just for a second. You know the difference between a preacher and a teacher? I can't claim this one. This is somebody else. A teacher tells it and a preacher yells it. There's a lot of things we can yell about, isn't there? There's a lot of things that just build that passion and we can talk about, get all going for. Yeah, what are we preaching about? What gets us moved? What gets us talking loud? I have a family member that, boy, when he gets excited, you know it because he starts talking louder. In fact, now that I think about it, that's also me as well. What are you preaching about, church? What moves you with passion? Preach the word. Preach what God has done. Preach what Jesus is doing in your life. Talk about him. Let people know that he's the most important thing in your life. It doesn't mean that you can't have other interests, but you'll probably have them because Jesus is in you if you're serving him. Let it be the focal point. Let it be something that you're looking to. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready in church, before church, out of church, in your car, in traffic. Praise God. Be ready in season and out. Be ready when you're shopping. Be ready when you are being waited on. Please be ready when you are being waited on. You don't need to be given a bad witness to those who are waiting on your table. Poor things are subjected to you. May it be as though they are subjected to Christ. Amen. Be good to those tellers. Be good to those people you're interacting with. You are bearing more than yourself. Ephesians says that the Holy Spirit is widening your heart so that Christ might dwell within. You are representing Jesus. You're carrying Jesus. Do not misrepresent him. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience. And teaching. Fun word on teaching. We know about great teachers in our lives, but let me give you a great word of wisdom. More lessons are caught than taught. What are you teaching? Because more people are going to catch what you're doing than hear what you're saying. Amen. Preach the word with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Some have used this as an excuse to say, see, the church will lose its power in the end days. That is a lie. That is not what this is saying. It's just to say that there will come a time where you can't reason with people. It's going to have to be the power of the Holy Spirit, because people in their infinite wisdom, according to Romans, will throw aside God and be cast up to worldly passions. You see, some people are just wanting to hear what they want to hear. They've been taught all their life from childhood on up that it's all about them. Wonder where they got that idea. But you see, when we're in Christ, we're open. And Christ can use you. He can use you. Preach the word. Be ready all the time. Make sure that in season and out, you are ready to make a defense on who you were before Jesus and now who you are after. And oh, that it would be after that you're better than before. Because if you're not, you don't know my Lord. You don't know my Savior. And you see, this is the people that he's calling us to be. Men and women of God, filled with power, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me finish this morning with this last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. For while we are still in this tent. I love how it's a tent, don't you? The Bible's referencing your body. The Bible is referencing our time in this life. while we are still in this tent, we groan being burdened. Know that following the Lord, or even not following the Lord, if you just live in this life, it will come with burdens. It will come with difficulty. There's no escaping it. It's just the nature of what we live in. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And so it goes on after that. What is the point of this? You're not looking for what's in the here and now. This is just a tent. I've shared with this congregation before, I am not the camper. My version of camping is a $100 hotel room. Amen. I can enjoy that nature all I want, but don't put me in a tent. That's cruel and unusual punishment. I don't do it. No, I want something far more established. I want walls. I want something that's not frail. Do you know that God has promised you something that's not frail? It's not this life. It's the life to come. He has filled you with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yes, He has.
That's how we can make sure, church, that we are ready. We submit ourselves to Him. Let's not be those servants who say, it'll happen when it happens. No, let's be those servants who are living for it so that when the Lord has us standing before Him, we never have to be ashamed, but we can give an account of our life. You know what scares me? Jesus says that we will have to give an account for every idle word spoken. Every idle word spoken. Praise God for mercy and grace. And when we stand before Him, I want to have a life that I can say, look, Jesus, look at what You've done in this heart and this mind. You know, the Bible says that we'll be crowned. Crowned. He'll have crowns for us. And yet, on that day, we also see where the crowns go. All the crowns are cast at His feet. He told Timothy, He says, henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will deliver unto me on that day. Yes. And I tell you, every crown that we receive, it'll be cast right at His feet, because we know that it was Him and not us who gave us the strength to be ready. And so that when He says, well done, good and faithful servant, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you before the foundations of the world, we will go in, every tear being wiped away, ready to enjoy a life that we can't even hold a candle to in the best of times here and now. Let's not live for the tent, church. Let's live for the eternal life that will swallow us up. Live to be the good and faithful, wise servant who will be put over all of God's possessions. That's who we're to be. Would you stand with me? I look out and I see some mighty men and women of God here this morning. And I'm so thankful that He has called us together to move forward. To move forward in what God has. To make a difference in the lives that are around us. To share this good news message that by grace He gave to us. Church, it's by grace that I've been saved. Through faith. It's not of me. It's the gift of God. Hold on to this gift. Don't let anyone take it from you. And be ready in season and out. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. In season, out of season, always ready to tell people why. Why? Are you ready? Are you ready?